Refinement will be made to you when the virtuous rise again, a degree of glory in heaven, as saints will be determined by how much we practice virtue here in this life. And the Church encourages us to practice the seven virtues, three for God, they're called theological or God-centered, faith, hope and charity, and the four cardinal or moral virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude and temperance, not just for our own well-being and sanctification, but also for the harmony within society, beginning firstly with our family and then spreading out. Because it's through the virtues, as the Greeks have taught us, that we become civilised, social, and etiquette, or rather ethics, is maintained. And the Church is therefore always honoured and, I suppose, in some way highlighted certain virtues. Which of the seven is the greatest, I ask you. Furthermore, within the Church we find from the beginning all of those people mentioned that ought to be at the banquet, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the unwanted of society. In fact, the Church has always cared for those that the world has despised or thought little of them. We'll think more about that and dwell upon that next weekend as Mother Teresa, the foundress of the Missionaries of Poor, who loved the poorest of the poor, is canonised in Rome. But some people would argue, well, the Church is full of the sick, the handicapped, the unwanted, because no one else wants them. Furthermore, they find religion, prayer, church, a bit of a crutch, props them up. But if you're healthy, you don't need God. What do we say about that? How do we answer that? Well, some view church as a support for those who cannot cope with living. Some would like crutches after the injured. Our Catholic faith is needed by us, yet in a different manner. A crutch is what one leans on, but a cross rests on us. Religion is not an excuse to help us cope, but a response that gives life, and life at a price. For the cross that rests on us wears down the pride, lust, selfishness, anger, and envy of our egos. Gold needs fire to purify it. Our souls need the cross so that we are cleansed and made holy in preparation for heaven. Now, of all the saints in heaven, we can perhaps highlight some of their virtues. Saint Vincent de Paul is there for his generosity. We have the martyrs who practice heroic courage. We have those who are charitable and kind, like St. Margaret of Scotland, or perhaps the generous Mother Mary MacKillop. So we can kind of see different virtues in different saints. But believe it or not, they all had one common virtue, without which they would not be saints in heaven. What is that virtue? It's mentioned twice in the first reading and twice in the Gospel. And the antiphon, or Gospel acclamation, also reminds us of it. That virtue is the virtue of humility, which comes under the four cardinal virtues. And humility is essential for holiness, as hygiene is essential for your physical health. In fact, there's not a saint in heaven who wasn't humble on earth, because humility is that base virtue that offsets that ugly vice which infects every human heart. And the vice is pride. Everyone has a good dose of pride. Some, of course, like myself, have lots of pride, but we don't mean being proud of your children at their schoolwork or proud of someone who played a good game of football today. That's not pride. Pride is arrogance. Pride is insolence. Pride is bat-chatting. Pride is vanity. Pride is disobedience. Pride is, oh, I'm not going to do it. But also pride being that ugly vice of original sin that's entered our hearts like selfishness. It has many different guises, many different ways it parades itself. And one is called self-pity. The person who's always, oh, look at me, things like, I'm not the speaker, I've got this problem, I've got this toe, I've got this headache, oh, come on. In other words, always wanting the focus point to be themselves. We are called by God to love others, to go out of self unto others, to not be selfish but selfless. Pride says, I love you, but I love you so that you may in turn love me. It's always seeking self, always wanting the best for self. And although at times it might seem like this person doesn't have much pride, scratch the surface or look at it from another angle, you might find, oh, that's an ugly form of pride. It's very, very subtle. So we all have a degree of pride. So therefore, we need humility to offset the pride. Because one can't exist without the other. You either have humility or you have pride, or pride or humility. So we all need to be somewhat humble. That doesn't mean being humiliated. You know when you're humiliated and everyone kind of sees you, you kind of you go and kick the goal, and the siren's about to go, and you put the ball out on the floor. You think, oh, it's so humiliating, how embarrassing. Well, it's probably good for your pride. But we don't like being humiliated. We shouldn't go about seeking to humiliate others to make them humble. No, being humble means being thoughtful of the needs of others. Always putting someone else first. Being kind and gentle. Humility means I see myself as God sees me, warts and all. In other words, we don't have this fake image of ourselves, but rather we have a very low image. Not to say we don't acknowledge the gifts God has given us, we do, but we acknowledge He's the source of the gifts, not myself. I wouldn't be who I am without His grace, His blessings, and thanks be to God has given me this, not for myself, but for the sake of others. That's not being proud, that's acknowledging who God is and what He's given us. And then be gracious towards others. A person who's humble is always inquiring about other people's needs and then doing things for them without being noticed, not wanting to have tickets hung on themselves, but rather seeking to help rather than hinder, giving rather than receiving. Humility is a great virtue because at the end of the day we have a feeling of joy in the heart because we always get back more when we give than we receive. And therefore we need to be humble, and parents need to teach their children at times when they're being proud or arrogant or rude, pull them down a peg and remind them Jesus would not be pleased with that attitude. God is not happy when you're rude like that because we all have a propensity to be like that at times. We need to adjust ourselves or be formed with the virtue of humility. Of course, it's not easy, but with God's grace, all things are possible. One person who realised that, and when the penny finally dropped, became perhaps the greatest Christian writer, was Augustine. It's the weekend of Monica and Augustine, and of course, her feast day is today. She was the mother that prayed her saint, son, into the church. He was a brilliant academic, had fallen away, had never been baptised, fallen away from God and religion, had fallen into a sect, in fact, had some interesting ideas, wasn't married, had a child, and was in Europe, Italy, and was fated and famed by the emperor because of his academic brilliance, and all the time he's filled with his own ego, pride. He knew he had talent, and he wasn't interested in God or church. His mother would go and pray every day at Mass. Tears would flow from her heart because of his hardness of heart. And God heard her tears, saw her prayers, and in time, because she was patient, he was converted. But there's three phases to his conversion, and the last phase brought down his pride. It was humility. He had to open his heart to practice before he would seek God and be baptized. And what brought him down was a simple acknowledgement he couldn't be good without God. He finally realized that we can't be the type of person we ought to be or desire to be without God's grace. There's a tension in our life between who we are and who we'd like to be. And that tension is there for a reason, that we might reach out and ask through prayer, God, give me the grace to be patient, kind, generous, thoughtful, and humble. And in his case, chaste. He was struggling with chastity. He'd met many women in his life, and he couldn't cope on his own. But
And when you realise that with God's grace, all things are possible, then the penny dropped, his heart was opened, humility came in, and so did baptism. And the rest is history. So we pray to Augustine that we might be humble like he became at the end of his conversion. And in being humble, we become holy. In becoming holy, we are a saint in the making.
Praise be Jesus Christ.